The keynote address will be given by Rav Yisuch Efran, the Rashiv of Nei Yisrael in Baltimore, who is one of the most respected and prominent lecturers of our time, who will speak on integrity in the workplace.
Rishus Marda Asra, Rabboni Ha'ir, Runan Rabboni Rabbeisai. Rabbi Schwartz, every time they talk about you, you run out of the room. I just want to say that besides the chashivas of the Etzem Kinus, but the fact that there's a follow-up and there's a program and there are other shiurim, that puts this at a different level. Because everybody can be inspired by a speech, and we go home, and we eat, we go about our things, and it dissipates. But when you go ahead and you put it in Lamaisa, as the Rav has proposed, that's a whole different madrega. And for that we owe him a tremendous, tremendous yasher koach. I think that by now, after hearing and seeing what's been presented here, we're convinced of the problem that plagues us. We see the horrible consequences that lack of emes causes. And hopefully we're inspired to do something about it. Perhaps you're thinking, I have to work on this. We're before Rosh Hashanah, so I have to work on this. The question is, what's this? What's the this? So you say, well, the this is Midas HaEmes. That's what my project is going to be for this year. Dvorach HaEmes, V'kayim Lod, I'm a kabbal to be more erlich. But as important as that is, I think that that's dealing with the symptom and not the illness. Because as important as emes is, but there's an underlying illness that plagues us. It's like treating the fever, but not treating the infection that causes the fever. So what's the infection? What's the illness that plagues us? To hear about these horror stories that Professor Tursky told us about. And I think that the thing that we have to work on this year, the illness, is that it's a chisaron by us in emunah. That we're not true ma'aminim. That's the problem. As you've heard, the Gemara says in Shabbos, "B'sho shemachnis enadim ledin, oymin loy nososov anasata be'amuna, kavati tim leteira, asakta be'piriyah verivya, tzipisil Yeshua, and two other things." What's that question? Nasosov and Asata Bemuna. Is it a question about business? Is that what it's about? We're erlich in business? I think it's more fundamental than that. Because what this Gemara is talking about is the fundamentals of what it means to be a Yid. Think about the questions. Nasosov and Asata Bemuna. Kavata itim letaira. What's a Yid if not for Torah? Asakta b'piriyah v'rivya. The Yisayid of the Bria. Leisohu b'ro'a l'sheves yitzara. Tzipisa l'Yeshua. Bias Mashiach. These are Yisayidus hadas. This is what it means to be a Yid. So nasosa v'nasata b'emuna is only about business? I think nasosa v'nasata b'emuna is a question about, were you a maimon? Did you believe in me? That's fundamental to being a yid. And apparently, the only thing the Ribbono Shel Olam has to know about us, of whether we were maminim or not, is one simple thing. Were you erlich in business? Because that's where emuna goes from theory to practice. That's where the rubber hits the road. Because if you truly believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam, and Sedoa Gott was viert im Welt, and you believe that the words Mizaynesiv Shalodim is Suvan Lemi Rosh Hashanah Le Rosh Hashanah, and that in 2 weeks from now it's going to be Kapaskind exactly how much we're going to make to the penny, and it's more than mere lip service, then there is absolutely no need to succumb to being less than honest. That's all what it's about. The Ribbono Shel Olam has to know one thing and one thing only. Were you erlich in business? That's how I know whether you believed or you didn't believe. And I want to tell you a story that goes back more than 45 years. I learned in Ner Yisrael. We had a mashkiach named Reb David Kronkel, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha. He was an altamir, he was a bal muster, he was a mishune dikat talmud chacham, he was everything. One year, Mitzoy Shabbos Shuva, a guy went to shoot pool. Now, shooting pool is not the worst aveir in the world. But you don't do that Motzei Shabbos Shuvah. Reb David called this guy into the room. He took him by the lapel. He was old school. He took him by the lapel and he shook him and he said, Du glaubst in Gott? Because if I'm a gleipt in God, you can go shoot pool Motzai Shabbos? Shuva? That's the question that applies to us. The gleipst in God? Do you really believe? Then what are you cheating for? The gleipst or the gleipst nisht? That's all the Ribbono Shel Olam has to know. You know, Professor Tursky, Rabbi Tursky, mentioned Galitzianers. It was equal time. This is an echt litvische Meisa. Was passed by Lakewood. I heard this Meisa from Rabbi Reich, who heard it from his Schwer, Rishneir Kotler, Zeger Tzadik Levroch. When Rav Schneier was a junger bocher, he went by chassidim. I'm not 100% sure. I think it was Slonim or chassidim. He went there for a Shabbos. He wanted to see vi chassidim fear na Shabbos. He comes in there Friday afternoon, far kabbalah Shabbos, mizok shir ashirim. And it just went up and up and up and up. The Kedusha, the Hislavis, the Dveikis, the Nigudim, the Ilnitshaya. He comes back after Shabbos. He comes to his father, Rabbi Aaron Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, And it erzählt them wegen der Mishune Dike Shabbos. So as I got by the Chassidim. Where Byron says to him, Shnei Rol, will they be more Erlich Sunday morning or not? If they'll be Erlich more Sunday morning, then I am impressed. And if not, it doesn't mean all that much. That's what it's about. Erlichkeit. The Pella Yates says that people say it's impossible to make a living without resorting to cheating. Oy lahem lebriyes miyem adin. Kikol hatayra kula, listen to these words. Kikol hatayra kula klula be'emuna v'odom niker bekisai. Odom niker bekisai, it's all about your wallet. Ki hamaymin biyad, yamamin bashem, hu mamin ki hu hanesin koyach lasis koyol, v'hakoyol if he rave hamaise, shemayra al ha'emuna. That's where it's about. You know, have you ever thought about this? The Aseres HaDibros is the Yesodis HaDas. Let's go through the Aseres HaDibros. Why is this an Aseres HaDibros? Aneich Hashem Aleikecha, that belongs there. Emuna. Lo Yilcha Elohim Acherim Alponai, belongs there. Aved Zara. Being unfaithful to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Lo Yisis Hashem Ashov. That's to do about Yira Shamayim, mentioning the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam in vain, swearing falsely. Shabbos, Kishesis Yom Mos Hashemes Hashemayim Veshorts, it's the Yisoid of Emuna. Kabbides Avicha Vesimecha, because they're the Messiah, they're the Bali Messiah. How do I know Siddur Ribbono Shel Olam? Because my father told him. How does he know? Because his father told him. There have to be the Bali Messiah, if not everything falls away. Deloisa says, Leisirtzach, Leisignav, Leisinav. You can't have a society. You have to have Kedushas Yisrael. Leisana Breach Leid Shoker. If there's Sheker, you can't have a society. People can't trust your words. All nine make sense. Yisaitis Hadas. Leisachmoid. Don't be jealous. Don't want his ox. Don't want his car. That's so fundamental that it belongs to Aseres HaDibros? What's that? Why not Chometz v'Pesach? What's up with Lo Yisachmoid? Because that's where it's at. Because if you believe in God, then the house that I have, and the car that I have, and the wife that I have, and the children that I have, and the parnos that I have, is because the Ribbono Shel Olam wants me to have it. And I don't need anything else. Anoichi is highfalutin. Yes, I believe. The grapes. Then the car that I drive is the car that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants me to have. And what are you jealous for? Ain't other than the Geb, but Muchen Lachaveri. Or as the Rekanti, who is a Rishon, writes, Bedibro le Sachmoid Klula Kol HaMitzvis. Erhert a Rishon. Bedibro le Sachmoid Klula Kol HaMitzvis, Shinemar Kol Mitzvah Secha Emuna. You want Kol HaTorah Kula in two words. Leisachmoid. Don't be jealous of his house. Of his kitchen. Of his job. Of his kids. Kol Mitzvah Secha Emuna. So if it all comes down to Emuna, How do we become bigger ma'aminim? Here are a few suggestions. Number one, look for him. And the more you look for the Ribbono Shel Olam in the Welt, in life, in history, the more you'll see him. The Rabbeinu Bachai writes that this world is called Olam. Olam is Miloshen Ne'alam. Ne'alam means hidden. The Ribbono Shel Olam does a Meshunadik job of hiding himself in Teva. It's our job to find him in Teva. Let me give you an example. On June 6th of this year, we marked the 70th anniversary of D-Day. When the Allies invaded Normandy, France, and the liberation of Europe began. We've all heard the statistics, and we know the facts. It was the greatest assemblage of men and materiel in the history of the world. Eisenhower had 3.5 million soldiers and sailors under his command. There were 7,000 boats and 12,000 planes that participated in D-Day. D-Day was supposed to be on June 5th, 1944, but because of bad weather, he postponed it to June 6th, the anniversary of D-Day. Those are all the facts that are noted. You could have read them in anywhere. But here are the some of the facts you didn't know. This is where we saw the Hashgacha B'Teva, the Meshunadik Hashgacha of why D-Day worked. The commanding officer of all German forces, when someone named General Erwin Rommel, you know your World War II history, he was known as the Desert Fox. Historians tell us that Rommel was a far better general and strategist than Eisenhower, than Patton, than MacArthur, than Montgomery, than all of them. He was there waiting, except he also saw the bad weather. And he figured that the invasion wouldn't happen for a couple days. So Rommel, whose wife's birthday was at that time, decided to leave the front and go home to be with his wife to sing her happy birthday. He was AWOL. He missed the invasion. Now, why was it cloudy and why was it rainy? And what mishigas chapped Rommel to go home to be with his wife? Luck? The guns that were embedded in the mountains overlooking the Normandy beach and Omaha beach were backed up by tanks. The Germans couldn't agree on the right tank, the person to command all the tanks. They had a machlekes. So therefore the tanks were put under the command of der Führer, Yamach Shemai himself, Adolf Hitler. He was the tank commander. He was to give the order. But Hitler, Yamach Shemai, had this crazy lifestyle of going to bed at 4 o'clock in the morning and getting up at noon. Hitler went to bed that night at 4 a.m. The invasion began at 5:20 a.m. But everyone was afraid to wake up Hitler. So he slept till noon, and the tanks never engaged until it was too late. Now, why didn't somebody say, you know what? Here we can wake up Hitler. Why did he sleep? Why did he wait till 4 o'clock? Why didn't he stay one more hour? Luck? Roll of the dice? Or Sidari Banesh Aloylom? Teva, Ne'elam, hidden. And you don't have to go back 70 years. We all remember the war this past summer. And maybe you read the account of Colonel Ofer Winter, who was leading a troop into Gaza on one fine morning that was supposed to happen before dawn, and they would be had the cover of darkness so they wouldn't be discovered. But the invasion got delayed somehow. And here they were invading, and the sun had already broken, the dawn had already dawned, and they were going to be exposed. Except all of a sudden, a fog descended on Gaza, and they had the cover of fog rather than the cover of darkness. Luck? Or is that Nela? Sadari Banishalam. We have to look for him. And if we see him, he'd become more real. And if he'd become more real, we'd be more erlich. It's a very simple equation. Here's another suggestion. Here's a Kabbalah. Everybody should keep their own personal diary of Yad Hashem, of when they see the Ribbono Shel'Olam acting and protecting them. You think that's childish? You think that's vibrish? So I'll tell you someone who kept a diary. His name was Reb Chatzkel Levenstein. And he kept a diary of how the Mir Yeshiva was saved miraculously. It wasn't his Megillas Esther. It was his Megillas Yecheskel. And you know what Reb Chatzkel said? That there were more nisim in saving the Mir Yeshiva than there were in Megillas Esther. Teher Stazog, more nisim. He saw it, he looked for it, he recorded it. And that's why the Ribbono Shel'Olam wasn't mere theory. And if I may be so bold to suggest that we saw something this past summer that may also surpass the Nes of Purim, because we saw Yad Hashem almost begoli. We all know about the terror tunnels, and we know what they planned. On Rosh Hashanah, if you believe the accounts, hundreds of Palestinian Hamas terrorists were supposed to spring up from the ground in Eretz Yisrael. They were going to massacre hundreds of people. And more scary than that is they were going to kidnap hundreds of people. Can you imagine what happened if 100 people were kidnapped? What kind of barrel they would have Eretz Yisrael over? Do we remember that we traded 1,000 terrorists for Gilad Shalit, one man? Was wollt gewen if they were hundreds of captives, children, women? That was supposed to happen. And why didn't it happen? Now, let's go back and contemplate the chain of events. 3 yeshiva bochurim, Hashem yinkom damov, the mayhem, were captured. Israel responded by doing what? Arresting hundreds of Hamas-suspected terrorists. What did Hamas do? They started launching rockets into Israel. What did Eretz Yisrael do? They responded by launching airstrikes. Hamas was offered a ceasefire. Not once, not twice, but many times. Now, do you have 2 cents of seichel? You have these tunnels. Hold your fire. Take the ceasefire. And then go for the bigger attack. But what did they do? They rejected the ceasefire and rejected the ceasefire. And then what happened? They were forced to invade. And they discovered the tunnels. It makes absolutely no sense that any country would do that.
If within a matter of months you're going to go ahead and be able to massacre them, then why on earth? Why do something so stupid?
Because Isaiah Tavolt, Ribbono Shel Gevolt. Vasadar Ribbono Shel. And after the Nace of Purim, which is more hidden than this, there was a Kimu v'Kiblu. Gans Klal Yisrael was Makabal the Terah Mechadash. Let me ask you a question. Ask myself a question. What was our Kimu v'Kiblu? What would we do differently?